Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. We're going to review the second leg, the whole shebang, as the Seattle Sounders advance for the very first time to the Major League Soccer Cup Championship in this 2016 season. Joining me right now from Sounder at Heart, my colleague at SB Nation, Dave Clark. Dave, I know every title is important to chase after in MLS. Obviously, with the Open Cup Championships that the Sounders have earned at the moment. The Sounders haven't gotten to this point, and now they have. Describe that moment, finally, when the final whistle blew after two legs, defeating the Colorado Rapids and seeing the Seattle Sounders getting to the MLS Cup final.
It was a combination of relief. It was thrilling and exciting at the same time. Seattle has had the burden of expectation since 2009, really, when they did what shouldn't happen and made the playoffs and took an Open Cup in their first ever year. From that moment forward, the expectation was Seattle would contend for championships. You know, they rebuilt the roster from in 2010, and then they rebuilt the roster in 2011, and they rebuilt it in 13, 14, and didn't rebuild it in 2016. And they tried to give Siggy that one last shot. And his fingerprints are all over this team. The leadership of a Brian Schmetzer and the influence of Nicolas Lodero to finally get them that one opportunity. And Jordan Morris and Nelson Hato Valdez made it happen. And it was it's still kind of stunning. One of the cool things about it is Seattle gets to celebrate for a couple of days. We don't even have to worry about who the opponent is. We can just celebrate making it this far. So that's kind of interesting and fun, because whoever advances on the other side, they're immediately thinking about how do we beat Seattle.
And here's the one thing that really stands out to me. It's Jordan Morris. And obviously it's Nicolas Lodero as well. I mean, him and Valdez have gotten Seattle this far. To where now, if Toronto wins, you're going to Canada. If Montreal wins, you're hosting the final. But seeing those two guys making themselves not just count, but their presence on the pitch really seemed to me that Seattle was a force to be reckoned with, and now you're at one more match to claim the league championship.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Jordan Morris. He had his Jordan moment, you know, starting the game after having the flu, performed through that, scored through that, hurt the knee twice, stayed in, you know, it was wrapped up. And they didn't even use the final sub on Jordan. He stayed through the whole thing, telling his dad, no, I got this, I can do it. And he did. He applied defensive pressure late. There was one moment where a long ball was cleared, and he was onside, but had open dirt in front of him. And I think that if he'd had a good knee, or if it hadn't been at altitude, either one of those, he would have been able to run on it. What was that? Probably about the 85th minute and get a second goal. But you know, that was the only time late where you're like, he doesn't have what he normally has. The rest of the game, despite the injuries, despite the flu, you saw a rather typical Jordan.
Yeah, you really did. And it just goes to show you why not only is he going to be a great player for the Sounders, but for the national team, obviously. Once he gets all healthy, we'll see what happens during qualifying next year. But honestly, though, seeing Jordan Morris, and I'm not saying I doubted him or anything like that, you just wondered when it was going to click. That's the only thing. I think waiting to see Jordan Morris getting it while playing, when's it going to happen? And it finally did in the middle of the season, and he's just been playing lights out since then.
I mean, let's not forget, in the beginning of the season, he was the only offense the team had and went on a 4-game scoring streak, tying the longest consecutive game scored, or no, setting the record for consecutive games scored as a rookie. That was early in the season. In the middle of the season, he wound up with his game winners, and you saw him, I think he was second in the league for game-winning goals. This wasn't, I mean, yes, he didn't score for the first 4 or 5 games, but he also played well against Club America. And you have to remember, they were ramping him up at the beginning of the year to be a substitute behind Obafemi Martins, Clint Dempsey, and Haydo Valdez. He was supposed to be the fourth forward in a 3-man set, and then all of a sudden, he was the only forward in a single set. So part of what you had was they were trying to teach him and take him along slowly, and that plan had to be shelved rapidly because the only way the Sounders would make the playoffs is if Jordan Morris was an effective goal scorer. He did it. You know, he had the highest expectations placed on an American soccer player in, what, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Since Clint, Landon, and Freddie, you know,
yep.
The expectations were up there. And all you can say right now is Jordan Morris lived up to those expectations in year one. Now we need to see, can he live up beyond that? And that's going to be the challenge. Can he make a career, or is it just one good year? And, you know, we're seeing all the talent. We're seeing everything that you need to be. You look back, what was it, about 2 months ago, Taylor Twellman had him on ESPN for a little sit-down. And they asked him, Taylor asked, are you a goal scorer or are you a forward? Afterwards, Taylor said that he was a goal scorer himself, not a forward. And you look for complete play. You saw it develop over time. You saw his occupation of space to open things up for his teammates, particularly Ladero and Valdez. Saw him play out on the wing when he needed to in order to get Nelson more space to become a scoring threat in the playoffs. You looked at his passing ability, particularly against Dallas, giving up his own goal so Nico could have a tap-in. You look at his defensive effort, which is something that's really changed this team. It's one of the few tactical changes that Spencer made, and that's to put in a higher pressing line where the forwards and the attacking mids started with early pressure. A lot of that was because Nico can run forever. But it's also because Jordan can run forever. He hit no wall as the season went on. He just kept running and kept running and kept running. Played in all 34 games. 32 of them were starts. Only 2 times came in as a sub. Started every playoff game. That's a heck of a resume for 1 year. And that's the type of play that, you know, could wind up an all-star, or, you know, if MLS had a second 11, he'd probably be a second 11 forward.
Very true. Before the second leg got underway, what did Schmetzer have to say? Because we all know Colorado got the road goal over at CenturyLink Field. The idea was for Seattle to maybe get an away goal in Commerce City to maybe, you know, equalize their away goal. But what did he mention before that match started at training, before, of course, the Sounders taking this one 3-1 on aggregate?
The Schmetzer has been pretty firm. Sounders soccer is a clean sheet and a goal. They've done that through the year. You take out a really bad July, the July that got Siggy Schmidt's career here ended. You take that out, and the Sounders defense is top 3 in the league. So they went back to their roots, defensively stout. They knew that they were capable of scoring. In the playoffs, I think the only 2 teams averaging more goals a game in the playoffs were over on the Eastern bracket, Toronto and Montreal. Seattle is scoring almost 2 goals a game. So they knew they could go in there and get one. And if they got one goal, no way the Colorado Rapids were going to get 3. That's not who the Rapids are. They're lucky when they score a single goal. You look at the playoffs again. The Rapids played 4 games. They got 2 goals. One was a 40-yard miracle, and the other was a deflected shot. They're not a good offense. And so seeing them not score shouldn't have been a surprise, particularly against the defense, the quality that Seattle has.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to say this, though. This was all done without Clint Dempsey. We know about his situation at the moment, with the heart issue. What can you tell us right now? Have you gotten any updates about Clint? Do you think he'll be available off the bench in the MLS Cup final, or do you think he'll be missing that as well?
Right, so let's take the first part. What we know about Clint is he's returned to practice and he's starting to work on fitness. It was just a light jog for the 2 days before they left for Colorado. He was doing light jogs around the practice facility. That's good. That's good news. That means whatever procedure he had done and the drugs that he's on the expect path that medical experts. We actually have a real doctor who writes for Sounder Heart once in a while, and he says this is what Clint should be doing. Now, can Clint come back for MLS Cup? Let's remember, both the U.S. national team under Juergen and the Sounders under Gar said, we're not going to have any updates till January. Both of them, though, were very confident that he would be back then. Now,
good.
There is a case for a Willis Reed or Disney moving moment. But that wouldn't be for a fully fit Clint Dempsey, if you know what I mean. Because he's just now working on jogging, and for the past several weeks, any fitness work he's done has had to been highly monitored, and not in public. We don't know when that started, and I can't clarify. But
that's fine.
You know, there is a tiny, tiny chance for a Willis Reed or Disney moment at MLS Cup. But the Sounders don't need that. What they've done post-Dempsey is figure out they have to figure out ways to carry themselves. And personally, if I'm in MLS, the Sounders have done this. They're going to have, you know, and then they have a Clint Dempsey available, and they're going to sign a DP that performs year-round rather than just in the playoffs in Hito Valdez. And they have room for a TAM player that they decided not to sign late in the season because they couldn't get it perfect. They're going to be a better team. And they made it this far now. And they're going to have mature Jordan Morris, Nico Ladero in a full season. And for all the excitement I have for the next 13 days, I'm drooling about next March.
Absolutely, because this should be probably one of the greatest moments in the Sounders' history to get to MLS Cup Final. Not saying the Open Cups have not been at below that level, but obviously, you know, this is the top of the league mountain right here to be champions of the league, and you know, getting back to the CONCACAF Champions League 17-18 tournament edition, and that should be a wonderful thing when you get back over there.
Yeah, you know, they've made it clear they have another game, and they have another game to reach their goal. Even before they made the playoffs, Brian Schmetzer said not making MLS Cup is a failure. That's the level this organization puts on itself in any given year. Their goal is to compete, be in that final image for all trophies that they're entered in a season. And they didn't get there last year. They're back now. It's at the very last moment. You know, they didn't get their – they didn't compete for the Open Cup like they have in the past. They were certainly weren't in the Shield picture, despite the – at the beginning of the season, everybody thought they would be. Instead, they made MLS Cup. It's 90 minutes away from greatness. It could be here in Seattle. And, you know, right now we just – we're out here waiting and hoping that the Montreal Impact win on Wednesday.
That's right, and we'll see what happens on Wednesday night when Montreal Impact are on the road at Toronto FC at BMO Field, and we'll see what happens when we get over there. But let me just say this, though, Dave. That first leg, obviously, seeing Jordan Morris getting that rebound shot to level the score at one, Nicholas Ladero being tripped up in the penalty area and converting it right down the middle past Zach McMath. That was an important first leg for the Sounders to set up what needed to happen in the second leg. And once again, there's an opportunity here to level the playing field, you might say, what the Timbers did last year. You're hoping the Sounders will do it this year, and you can level up that score.
You know, I don't know that we're thinking about the Timbers. We're thinking about the Sounders. This is a Sounders organization with more history, more playoff experience, more championships overall. Yes, the Timbers have the first MLS one, but I don't look at the Western Conference Final and think, oh, we finally caught up to the Timbers. And no, we're the Sounders. There's another trophy on the way. That's the only goal. None of the players are thinking about the Timbers. And most certainly, Brian Schmetzer, who's played against the Timbers a lot, has coached against the Timbers a lot, he isn't thinking about the Timbers. He's thinking about how to win the game. And that's what the fan base here is. There's not – I mean, we've used it a lot around here. We're the big brother and they're the little brother. And the little brother likes to thumb their nose. But except for when we interact with them, we're not possessed, at least for the majority of the fan base. It's just not – that's not the way that this relationship works. And, you know, the Timbers didn't make the playoffs. That's pretty par for the course for them. You look under Caleb Porter, they don't make the playoffs more often than they do. That's typical for him. He likes to say that he's good in the postseason, except you look at with Akron. They only won the title once. Most of the time, they didn't go as far as they were expected to. So, you know, Merritt Paulson today made a comment, you know, it was about L.A. approaching other MLS teams, and he said that they have the best coaching job in the league. And, you know, Merritt can think that, but there's no evidence that's true. I mean, you look at your audience, right?
Yep.
Would anybody out there want to go to L.A. or for the Timbers? Which one's a better job? Well, the one that's going to make you $5 to $6 million a year rather than one.
Obviously, Los Angeles.
Yeah, I just spent, you know, 7 minutes talking about how I don't think about the Timbers. So, you know, let that soak in, too.
Exactly. But I have to say, what's the mood in Seattle right now? What's going on with everyone in Seattle at this particular point in time? Obviously, finally reaching the highest plateau in MLS right now in the MLS Cup Final, waiting to see which Canadian side they're going to face. What's everyone saying right now in Seattle about this Sounders team that's going to be going for that opportunity next Saturday?
We're just really excited. There were almost 300 people that traveled to Denver to watch the game there. There were nearly 200 people that met the team when they landed their charter at Boeing Field late last night, where, you know, the players were just mobbed and crowded. And, heck, we enjoyed it. I was there as the media, and we got to talk to the players right after they got off the plane. And at first they're like, wow, there's a lot of people here. And it was like 10 of us with cameras and microphones. And one of the photogs said to Chad Marshall, just wait till you turn that corner. And there were nearly 200 people singing and chanting. And it continued. You know, Ramon Torres danced. Ozzy, he loved that trophy. I thought he was going to take it home with him. He said that he was planning to give it back to the team, but I don't know if he did. but through all the celebrations, everybody's saying, you know, they borrowed a phrase that Ozzy used once he became the captain, winning. And he goes, we're not finished yet. We're not finished yet. And that's kind of the mood. The mood is we're not finished yet. There's more to come. And, you know, whether this is the sports movie that ends on a down note or on a high note, that's up to the players. Because, frankly, this year is very much like a sports movie.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Dave, my friend, congratulations. Talk to you next time after the MLS Cup Final. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. But congratulations to you and all the Sounders supporters and the Sounders themselves. They got to finally where they need to be, and let's see if they can do it one more time. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you again soon, sir.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart. SB Nation, my colleague at SB Nation, from the MLS websites. You know, you got to say that the excitement is palpable up in Seattle. You have to say that what they have done here has been unbelievable. And I understand what's been going on and how some people are acting and all that stuff, you know, with the Sounders fans. But the truth is they deserve this moment of glory here. They do deserve it. Their team has done an incredible thing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was shocked to see the start they had. And then when they turned it around, it looked pretty good. And then all of a sudden now, it looks like they might be one win away from earning their first MLS Cup championship, a supporter's shield, 3-4 Open Cup championships, getting as deep as they could in the CONCACAF Champions League in the semifinals. And now they have an opportunity here, a true opportunity to grab the MLS Cup championship. What we are seeing right now from the Sounders team has just been miraculous. And we'll see how much they can do this, how much more they can do this, because right now, at this point in time, the Sounders are looking like they might be on their way to winning their first MLS Cup championship. But we'll see what happens on Wednesday night at BMO Field. Toronto FC down 3-2 to the Montreal Impact as they host the second leg. They have 2 away goals. Montreal at least needs to be ahead on aggregate and, if possible, level the away goals if they can. This is going to be a big moment here. And all I can say is this. This would be a great final, whether it be against Montreal at CenturyLink Field or they got to go to BMO Field to take on Toronto FC. Because I truly believe that we're going to get ourselves a great final here. And I also want to say once again, very happy for the Canadian television stations, sports television stations in Canada, to have a great first leg viewing record for over 1 million viewers in Canada to see that happen. That was wonderful to watch. And maybe they'll double it when the second leg is played this coming Wednesday. But once again, this is what it means. It means that the Seattle Sounders right now are on a major high. The entire city of Seattle is on a major high. We all know what they do for baseball. We all know what they do for the NFL with the Seahawks. But let me tell you something right now. Seattle is a soccer city, and they are going to basically put their foot on the gas. And they are going to find a way to go out there and do the job that they will probably do. So let's see what happens here. Let's see what's going to happen, and we will move forward. Before we say goodnight here, now obviously it's a short show because of the Western Conference second leg final, reviewing it, and some things have been going on right now and in American soccer. Just want to say that we will be covering this in the next week or two, next 2-3 weeks, because we want to get a clear picture of what's happening. We want to wait and see what's happening. But if you've been following the rumors going around that the North American Soccer League, deep trouble, it is a tough pill to swallow, not because of certain things that, you know, some people were hoping for, and the truth is you shouldn't be hoping for that. But the truth is that it's not just about the owners of the league. It's not just the commissioner of the league. You're talking about a bunch of people that work in the league front office. And all the front office people with every single club that have poured their heart, sweat, and tears to make not only their clubs great in this league, but to make the league great itself. Have some things have gone wrong? They probably have. But as I have said many, many times, we should not have to glee or gloat when clubs and a league are going to fall apart financially the way things have happened so far. And if you followed certain people on Twitter that have been reporting on this, including, of course, Dave Martinez from the Empire of Soccer website, I have to say this. It is not a fun thing to see when you have these clubs trying so hard to stay alive in the lower levels of American soccer. Carolina Railhawks, FC Edmonton, Fort Lauderdale Strikers, the Indy 11, Jacksonville Armada, Miami FC, the New York Cosmos, the Ottawa Fury, Puerto Rico FC, Rio OKC. And a bigger question mark is, what's going to happen with the San Francisco Deltas? Will they also be affected in this, which I think they will? Because right now, there's a big issue going on. Now, once again, I like to consider it to be rumors. But you also have to be weary at the same time that this is a serious thing. This is a serious moment. There could be the distinct possibility the NASL is going to be gone for the second time that it has existed. And my hope is that it won't be. But if it is, I expect United Soccer Leagues, and I will say this, I believe they will get that second division standing to start 2017. And at the same time, I believe not just Ottawa and Tampa Bay are going to the USL, which of course has been officially announced. I truly believe most of the clubs will be heading to the United Soccer Leagues. And does that mean the USL are going to bring back Division One and Division Two? We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. But right now, there's a lot of question marks in the lower levels. And there will be a roundtable discussion on this in December, after the week after the MLS Cup final has been played. It will be on Friday, December the 16th at 8 o'clock Eastern. There will be discussions. Acquiring guests as we speak for this roundtable discussion, because it's a serious thing, folks. It's a serious thing. No one, and I mean no one, should ever laugh in the faces of the supporters, the players, the front office people, and the owners that have spent their hard-earned money and their time to try to make what the North American Soccer League was supposed to be about, a solid league all the way around. And now the question marks will be flying in. There's been enough talk on Twitter. There's been enough talk on Facebook and every other social media site on the internet. We're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. We're just going to have to be patient about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for tonight's quick show. Once again, the Seattle Sounders win the first leg 2-1, win the second leg 1-0. 3-1 on aggregate over the Colorado Rapids to win the 2016 Western Conference Final. They are now awaiting an opponent from Canada. Will it be the Toronto, will it be the Montreal Impact, or will it be Toronto FC? That will be your answer for this coming Thursday. Join me this coming Thursday as we get ready to recap the Eastern Conference Final. Whether it be Toronto FC or the Montreal Impact, we'll have to wait and see. I want to thank my guest, Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart, from SB Nation, my colleague at SB Nation. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for listening tonight, and as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you, everybody. Take care, And bye-bye. We'll talk to you on Thursday night, recapping the Eastern Conference Championship. Bye-bye for now, everybody. So long.